Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Welcome on in to Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. We'll jump into it. Special guest today. We're now joined by Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers. Andy, always a pleasure, my friend. How are you today?
I'm fine, Zach. Happy New Year to you and the family and all the folks listening on the podcast, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. I hope yours went very well. You spent New Year's Day calling a bowl game that I can't imagine was a whole lot of fun to call, Andy.
Well, it was a tough end to an odd year of Auburn football, to be sure. We did the game remotely. First time we've done a football game remotely. We gathered at Jordan-Hare Stadium to call the game. And it brought to a close 2020 as far as Auburn football is concerned. And I think everyone involved with the program, hopefully the Auburn fans, are very excited about the future with head coach Brian Harsin and the staff that he will bring in, and hopefully getting that done, I would think, in short order. When I talked to him a couple weeks ago when we sat down for the interview that's out there on YouTube and auburntigers.com, he said he's putting the staff together as soon as possible, but I think he also understood that he has to be patient, because I would think that there's probably some coaches that since that time were still coaching out there. We'll wait and see as this staff comes together for Auburn, but I'm very much looking forward to what the future holds for this Auburn football program.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. But before we move on, I want to talk about your interview with Harsin, but just quickly, just because I'm curious and I wasn't able to go, but a lot of the times when Auburn plays on a New Year's Day bowl, a lot of Auburn fans kind of use as an excuse to have kind of a holiday vacation with their families and meet up with people maybe they haven't seen in a while, wherever the bowl game is. Obviously, that wasn't the case this year. How different was it gearing up and getting ready to call this bowl game, the Citrus Bowl down in Orlando? How different was it this year versus all the other several bowls that you've called in the past?
Well, it was different for the players too, Zach. I mean, typically, you know, for a game that would take place on New Year's Day, Auburn would typically be down there either Christmas night or the day after Christmas,
right?
And would spend the week, in this case, in Orlando, and practice and do some fun things. There are a lot of things you can do in Orlando, Florida, to have some fun. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that. I mean, they literally went down the day before the game and came back right after the game. So right. It was really a road trip. For us, it was a very busy time because we had Auburn basketball on the 31st. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. We had Auburn basketball on the 30th at the arena. We had Tiger Talk the 31st, we did the game from Jordan-Hare Stadium on the 1st, and then Brad and Sonny Smith and I regathered there at Jordan-Hare Stadium to remotely call the Auburn men's basketball game against Texas A&M. So that was very different for us to do half of our broadcasts remotely during that span, when typically we are at the site for every one of those games. Was very, very different. But you know what? This has just been a different year in many regards. And if you don't adapt as a result of COVID-19, you're in a little bit of trouble. And certainly we have, and everyone in all walks of life have been forced to adapt to what the reality is of COVID-19.
Andy, you mentioned your interview with Coach Harsin. It was put up, I believe, Monday. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon. I think you put it up yesterday. About 20 minutes or so of you kind of picking his brain and getting to know him a little bit better. And Andy, it seems like the majority of the Auburn fan base is kind of on this same ride as far as it comes with Coach Harsin, where a lot of people were very unfamiliar with him. Some people didn't even know who he was when the announcement was made. And then after the press conference, they get a little bit more excited. And then after your interview with them, they get more excited. And you kind of see more and more things and hear more and more things about this guy. And it's like, oh, wow, it seems like, you know, the hire is getting more and more well-received as more and more people know about him.
And what was released through YouTube and auburntigers.com is about half of the time that we recorded.
Oh, wow.
That day. Yeah. So And I'm planning in the next couple weeks to put together that entire interview in podcast form. So that interview was about 15 or so minutes on YouTube. We recorded for about 28 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's
that
awesome.
That day at the Harvard Recruiting Center. So there are more things to talk about. And I like the Auburn family and everyone else is getting to learn more about Brian Harsin, his family, his coaching style, his just his life in Boise, Idaho, his time as a drag racer, which fascinates me, by the
sure,
way.
Sure, yeah.
And he was doing that concurrently to his time as a tight ends coach in Boise, at Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a choice to make at one point. We talked about it in the interview. He talked about it in the interview that he and his wife, Cass, just after their son was born, Davis, they had a choice to make, whether he would go full-time as a drag racer on the funny car circuit,
right,
or whether he would commit to being a football coach. But of course he chose football, but I get the idea that there's a little drag racer left in Brian Harsin. But he's a fascinating man to be around. I don't think we learned a whole lot about his personality. I don't think he lets a lot out at this point anyway. When I watched his press conference virtually with everyone else and then sat down with him for that half hour or so that day, and he was doing all kinds of things that day, pictures and all kinds of things.
Right.
That's an intense guy. There are not a lot of smiles from him. And I don't think that means the man isn't happy or content. He's just rather focused.
Yeah,
in the way he goes about things. But we're all going to learn what it is like for Brian Harsin to be the head football coach at Auburn University, which I'm sure he has a lot to learn about being in Auburn and the Southeastern Conference and coaching in the Southeastern Conference as well. So it'll be a learning curve for all of us.
So we've only been able to see him when the cameras are on, a very formal setting with, you know, whether it was the video interview with you or the press conference. Did you see any other side of him before you guys started filming or maybe afterwards for a few minutes if you guys interacted? Is there a different guy or is that kind of who he is?
As far as I know, Zach, that's the man that you see and that's the man that he is.
Yeah.
We chatted just briefly. I asked him about Boise and how large that area is. And like Auburn, apparently Boise, Idaho is growing at an alarming rate.
Sure.
Which I found interesting. And it is a much larger area than I believed it to be. But there wasn't a lot of time for us to sit down and chit-chat. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will come at some point in some way. But right now, his priorities need to be and are, I would think, getting that staff together and getting acclimated and getting settled in as the head football coach at Auburn.
Sure, sure. And a lot of fans starting to panic a little bit. Once again, it's Tuesday afternoon as we record this about, you know, oh my gosh, how come we haven't heard any kind of coaching news? But in his conversation with you, it seems like he's being very focused, like you said, and very, I mean, he wants to make sure that he gets the right guys. It does not seem like he's in a hurry, but he understands that the sooner is the better. Is that kind of the impression you got?
Well, you know, there's the saying that his father has said as a man in drag racing and as a mechanic and that type of thing, and his father, and I'm paraphrasing here, basically would tell people that came to him for work, you can either have it now or you can have it done right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a motto for Brian Harsin as the football coach at Auburn. I believe he has the plan. I just don't think we know what that plan is
right
at this point. And that may be unsettling for some not to know exactly, but I don't think that he really cares, you know,
yeah.
he has a plan. He knows what he wants to do. I think he probably has an idea who he wants to hire, and we'll just have to be patient and we will learn like everyone else when this staff is put together and who is on that staff. As you and I sit here and talk, I have no insight as to who that will be at this point.
We'll continue our conversation with Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, in just a moment. Today's show brought to you by the new and improved Built Bar. It's even deliciouser than it was before. They're all
100% covered in chocolate. They're delicious. It's like a slight crunch on the outside with the chocolate and then just a wonderful texture on the inside. They've got 18 amazing flavors, coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, all kinds of different things. Got an email yesterday, and I think we're actually going to order some dark chocolate cookie dough for a limited time only. So head over to BuiltBar.com right now to check that out. It's got real cookie dough chunks in it. And it's like, you look at all this, it's like, how in the world could this be healthy? Well, it is. It is. All the bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for a keto diet if you're into that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, all the bars, and look at the flavor profiles and, you know, just kind of the nutrition stats, the macros, as they say. They're all around 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. It's great for any diet. So head over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Andy, let's pivot a little bit to basketball. It's been an interesting year already as we are two games into conference play. This team, I mean, it looks like a very talented young team that's just missing its point guard. I mean, how has it been being this close to the team so far this season?
Well, you know what, Zach? I mean, part of that is I'm not that close to this team.
Okay.
At this point, I'm not able to go to a lot of practices. I'm not with the team on the road. You know, right now, as you and I talk, the team is bussing to Oxford, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I would typically be on that bus with the team, but we're not making road trips this year, thanks to the edict from the Southeastern Conference. And I understand it. I'm not upset about that. That's just the facts of it.
Right.
So, but listen, we knew that this year, and Bruce Pearl has been very upfront about it, that this was going to be a rebuild, maybe a reloading year for this team. Now, the one thing that I think frustrates the head coach, and he talked about it briefly today, when asked if all of the talk and all of the things that are going on behind the scenes with regard to Sharif Cooper are frustrating, and he had a one-word answer, yes. And that's it. That's all he said.
Right.
That's the one thing that I think has thrown Auburn for a curve this year, is not having the highest recruited player in Auburn history available to them
right
this year, Sharif Cooper. As a result, Justin Powell has been the starting point guard for Auburn, and Alan Flanagan has moved into that role. And, you know, and since that time, Auburn lost a player to the transfer portal, and Turbo ended up signing with South Alabama. Now, Justin Powell was injured, suffered a head injury in the game at Texas A&M last week. And we don't know at this point whether he will be available to Auburn when the Tigers play Ole Miss Wednesday night in Oxford, Mississippi. So a spot that has been thin and inexperienced for Auburn at point guard could be even thinner if Powell does not play against Ole Miss. And by all accounts, Sharif Cooper is still not available to Auburn. He has started practicing. I guess he's been practicing with the team for a little over a week. I think that's good news. I don't think that's bad news. But you know, there is no word with regard to Sharif Cooper. All of that to say, Zach, we knew this was going to be here where Auburn might take some lumps. I mean, Auburn is playing primarily freshmen and sophomores
right
in the lineup. The lone upperclassman is Jamal Johnson,
Jamal, right,
who's been terrific for Auburn as a junior and has been Auburn's leading scorer in the first two SEC games with over 20 points off the bench in both of those. But Auburn and Kentucky are the only SEC teams that did not return a player that averaged 5 points or more from last year's team. Auburn lost 84% of its scoring from last year. And for the first time since 1950, and to show you how long ago that is, that's 11 years before I was born, Zach, Auburn lost its entire starting lineup for the first time since 1950 from last year's team that I think was poised to make a run in the NCAA tournament
right
for the second straight year. Now, here's the thing. Next year, and hopefully – Sharif Cooper is back and full go for Auburn, and Auburn has a great recruiting class coming in. And all of these freshmen and sophomores are sophomores and juniors, and Jamal Johnson is a senior. I think the mood and the way Auburn is perceived by a lot of folks will be drastically different next year than it is this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of those guys that Auburn lost from last year to this year. I mean, a lottery pick is included in there as well.
Well, you lost five seniors that at some point in their Auburn career had been starters every game.
Yeah.
And the guy that Bruce Pearl called the senior in Isaac Okoro, who mm-hmm. played like a senior but played as a freshman and started, well, every game that he played
right.
for Auburn a year ago and now plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers is the number five overall pick. So that's a whole lot to lose off of a team, and especially when the guys that are playing now, instead of being upperclassmen like a year ago, are freshmen and sophomores this year. You do that in the SEC, and you will take your lumps. And Auburn has in its first two games against an Arkansas team that was undefeated until it lost to Mizzou over the weekend, and a Texas A&M team that plays very good defense, much like the team that Auburn will play Wednesday in Ole Miss.
Sure. So the radio guy in me's, I got to ask this. I didn't realize you were calling. I didn't realize you weren't going on the road with a team in conference play. I had no idea. So what are you guys looking at when you and Sonny call that?
We have a big screen TV at Jordan-Hare Stadium just outside our football booth.
Uh-huh.
And we get the feed, which includes a raw video feed and a raw audio feed. And that's what we're calling it off of the TV monitors like every other visiting radio crew in the Southeastern Conference this year. It has come down from the SEC that the visiting radio teams cannot come in and do a game at an SEC venue. It's the same way for women's basketball this year as well. So we're learning how to call these games remotely like every other radio crew, men and women, in the Southeastern Conference for basketball this year.
Does the feed you're able to see, does it move, or is it just kind of a static shot that doesn't move where you can see everything?
The video feed, as I understand it, is much the same video feed that you're seeing while you're watching the game on TV. It's just that there's no announcers with the feed that we're getting. So wow. We are providing the commentary with the video that you're typically seeing for the TV broadcast as well.
Interesting. Interesting. So it's got to be frustrating when you like can't see something that you want to look at and like comment on, right? That's got to be a huge adjustment.
Well, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't see what you can't see. So sometimes we don't know what has happened because we have to rely on what we're seeing on the TV. But you know what? I'm grateful that we're getting a chance to call games.
No question, sure.
Because last summer, there was a lot of people out there saying there would be no athletics, there should be no athletics. I think these student-athletes are happy to be competing, even if it is in an Auburn arena that would typically be jam-packed with over 9,000 people, and it's only 1,800 people, or smaller crowds that, Auburn soccer matches or whatever. I think these student athletes are very happy to be competing. And we, as the announcers, and I've talked to most of the different gentlemen that call games in the SEC, it is not an ideal situation, but given the opportunity of doing these games, even remotely, we'd much rather be doing this than not having a game to call at all.
No question. No question about it.
We'll continue our conversation with Andy Burcham in just a moment. Want to mention our exclusive partners throughout the Locked On Podcast Network, betonline.ag. It is the best place to bet on anything in the world of sports. Hopefully a lot of you betted for Devonta Smith, the one the Heisman last night. I think that seemed like a no-brainer. I'm looking for the line on Auburn, Ole Miss. I'm wondering if that is out yet. It is. Okay, I'm on betonline.ag right now. You can bet Auburn +7 against Mississippi. Wow, Ole Miss favored by 7. And the over-under is 138. So if you were if either of those lines excite you, if you think Auburn can keep it within 7 against Ole Miss tonight, you need to head online to betonline.ag. And go there. You can make a free account and then use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, no spaces, for your 50% welcome bonus. It's free money to bet with. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Andy, as you move into the offseason for football, I know your offseason is very limited because you go from one sport to the other all the way through baseball, but is this offseason for football, as you prepare for the 2021 season, how different is it going to be in your preparation with new coaches? And I mean, we don't know how many different position coaches and assistant coaches and all that are going to be involved with all this, but for the most part, I mean, it's going to be a brand new staff from top to bottom. How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, it's an interesting, I don't know exactly how we will prepare for that. Yeah. It's certainly not the first time that it's happened. There have been different regimes that have come and gone at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and this is the newest, the latest for Auburn. I hope we get the opportunity as time permits to get to know Coach Harsin and his staff and get an opportunity to see these Auburn players. And it's going to be a different Auburn team out there with the news of Seth Williams and Flash and Eli Stovall all indicating they're going to the NFL draft. So it's going to be a different look Auburn team. I think spring practice this year is going to be as important as it's been perhaps in a couple decades. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard many, many stories of that first spring practice when Coach Dye was tired. And I think this is a very important spring practice. Here's one reason is because there was no spring practice last year.
Right.
So that offensive line never got a chance to play together, really, until the season began this year. That's another spot for Auburn that has the potential to return everybody from an offensive line that, you know, by the end of the year was you know, it was patchwork at best. So there's going to be a lot of brand new stuff that we deal with Auburn football. But that's all right. There's typically new players that we learn about. There's typically a new staff member, you know, on board.
Yeah.
It's just this year it'll be everybody that we're getting to know, and hopefully we'll get the opportunity to be around them, to learn about them, learn about their styles, and that type of thing. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's very, very exciting.
Sure, sure. And you mentioned the receivers that have now, you know, they're entering the NFL. But, I mean, the guys that you assume will step in are guys that you're familiar with. I mean, Elijah Kenyon and Kobe Hudson, who was just a natural wide receiver. And then Capers, whose surgery apparently went well on his foot. Got that news earlier today. But it's guys that you've called before. It's just going to be, right, obviously, you know, bigger roles for those guys.
Well, and add Malcolm Johnson,
sure,
to that list, you know, who reclassified, didn't play a whole lot in his first season at Auburn.
Very fast.
You know, guys like Cedric Jackson or Shed Jackson, mm-hmm, that hopefully is going to return for Auburn, that gives Auburn some you know, veteran play there.
Yeah.
Listen, I think we all thought that this young recruiting class for receivers was going to be a very, very good one. Well, they're going to get a chance to display themselves maybe earlier in their careers than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all hoping that all three of those guys, Eli Stove, Seth Williams, and Anthony Schwartz, would come back. Turns out all three are going to the NFL. So, all right, it's time for the young guys to step up, and they'll get that opportunity coming up this season.
From a scheme perspective, as far as what Harsin does on offense, at least what we saw him do at Boise State for the last several years and what Gus did at Auburn over the last 8 seasons, it's pretty different as far as, you know, pace and different formations and substitutions. Is that a change up that you're looking forward to, kind of, you know, calling a different style of offense just because it's different and, you know, it's been successful everywhere it's been? Or is that something that you've just kind of trained yourself to be able to describe what you see and it doesn't really matter?
Probably the latter.
Yeah.
I think I like anyone else wants to see Auburn to be more consistent,
mm-hmm,
offensively, whether it's the, you know, the hurry up style, whether it's more of a pro style. I just want Auburn to be successful offensively, be more consistent offensively, to be more effective from an offensive standpoint. I'll be very interested to see how a Brian Harsin offense looks as the head coach at Auburn as compared to what he put on the field as the head coach at Boise State. Is it the same style? Probably. It's going to be interesting to see who he hires as both of his coordinators. I think one thing that Auburn will do immediately is improve up front offensively and defensively from a physical standpoint. Not that Auburn hasn't been physical, but I think that will be one of the points of emphasis for Brian Harsin. When I asked him about his style, the first thing he talked about wasn't, well, we're a no huddle, downhill running. No, he talked about we've got to be better offensively and defensively at the line of scrimmage. And I think if you watched Auburn this season, you would have to agree that Auburn needs to be better on both sides of the ball up front.
Andy Burcham, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Zach. Have a great day. Happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you so much to Andy Burcham. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We will recap the Auburn-Ole Miss game as well as talk about some of the hires that Harsin has made on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Auburn. We'll see you then. Follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Auburn and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. See you tomorrow right here on Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.